This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Welcome once again to Chill Filtered, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. On today's episode, me and Cole are going to be drinking Four Roses Single Barrel Barrel Strength Bourbon. It's delicious, and we'll get to that later. But for now, a little bit of business. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please leave a rating and a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts app. That helps so much. It helps people find the podcast, and it helps us know what you're thinking about the podcast. If you want to play a bigger part in what we do here at Chill Filtered, go to patreon.com/chillfiltered. That's the business. Here's the podcast. Cole, how are you? How is Arizona? How's life?
It's been a good week since last week. Sometimes when you start a new job, you get really anxious, and I've had like an anxious week. That's to answer that question, but it's gotten so much better since the beginning or the like last time we recorded.
Yeah.
The weather is gorgeous here. It was a cool day today, around 55 degrees.
Are you reading this out of your journal?
No,
it was
no,
a cool day today.
Twas a cool mid-winter day. No. I was just feeling it. It was nice. Typically, it's like in the 70s, but today it was a little cooler. So
you know, you said that last episode. You said it's so hot, it's like 75. You understand that 75 degrees is not hot, right? It's like
yeah,
in
like
the 70s
the winter,
is nothing.
Well, for the sure. Winter, it's super hot.
Yeah, but you're in the desert.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's cold for the desert, and people are like bundled up here. It's kind of weird, like seeing people in like 60 degree weather, and they're like they got like two layers on or three layers on sometimes with like a scarf and everything like that. It's
yeah, that's funny. Insane. That's insane. what did you think of last week's episode? You know, it was the first time that we recorded not being in the same place, and all that stuff. Do you think it turned out well?
I think it did. To be honest, I was like actually really worried because if that episode sucked, then I'd be like, crap, like how's
this
gonna
work out?
You were
gonna call it quits.
No, I mean, I wasn't. I was worried you would, but I was actually really happy with it. And actually, did Robbie text you? Robbie Dedlow? Did he text you?
Yeah, he texted us in that group text.
Oh, it was a group text.
Well, I mean, he texted the group text asking if we were gonna have an episode. I didn't hear back from him as far as what he thought.
So he hit me up like less than an hour ago, and I thought he hit both of us up, but shout out to Robbie once again. But he was like, hey, I was so impressed with the setup with the new one. So I was really encouraged by one of our better, not better.
Wow. Just
one of our
shit
more
on
vocal
everybody
listeners.
Else.
No, we love you listeners. One of our more vocal and what's the word? Kind of interactive.
Yeah.
One of our more like in there supporters said we did a really great job, and he was really pumped that we had nailed a new separated distance wise episode.
Right. Yeah. The only thing that I didn't like, I had to do a lot of editing as far as like getting the timing right, and I didn't get everything perfect there. The only thing, and I think that we have to point this out for listeners who, one of the biggest things we've always got comments on is how good the audio quality is.
Oh, for
and
sure.
The only thing that I didn't like about the episode is that with your new setup, it's very echoey. And I know that I think today you're recording in a different room. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a more padded closet today.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the closet or if it's the type of microphone that you're recording on. I tried to see if we could dampen the reverb on that today, but I don't know. So I messed with it as much as I could to get you to sound identical to me, but that last episode there was quite a bit of, at least to me, I could hear it. I don't know if other people could hear it, but there's like a weird echo reverb.
It's you. I mean, I just got so used to it so quickly that I didn't even notice it. At first I was worried. But I think you're like an artist like I am who is very conscientious of the slight differences in their work.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
There was a clear difference to me, at least. So, but whatever. I think overall it was great, and it's nice to know. Listen, I was super worried that like this was gonna be a huge pain in the butt to like keep doing this, and it wasn't gonna be as good. And it was nice to get that one done and be like, oh, you know what? This is like serviceable. Like we can do this. So that's pretty awesome.
And apparently you're getting some new cool podcasty tool that we're excited about.
We won't tell people about that yet, but I'm going to spend a big chunk of money on something with my tax return. By the way, did my taxes. It's the first year since I've been married that I don't owe taxes. It's the first year that we are getting a tax return, and I'm like so pumped about it.
Dude, there's something to a nice tax return.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I my other podcast, Madison Story Slam, I've actually stopped doing all my other podcasts except for this and Madison Story Slam.
Okay.
Just last month, I quit paying the fees for Podbean on the other two, and I canceled my contract for the actual websites for the other two. Because Madison Story Slam, I have decided to give myself a shit ton more work on that show with doing all the videos. You know, we do a live stream now every month. And then besides that, I take all the video from that and edit them down to individual stories and post those 3 times a week. And we upped our episode count for the last 4 years, we've done one episode a week, and very often have been bad about like even doing that. Like sometimes there's like a 2 month stretch where we don't have an episode, and I have made a commitment to having an episode, not only having one episode every week, we've started doing 2 episodes of the podcast every week. So I am like super busy. If I'm not at work, if I'm not at my full-time job, I'm at home either editing video or editing podcasts for Story Slam, or editing this one for Chill Filtered. So yeah, that's really busy. And you know that I don't really make a ton of money doing any of these. So
for sure.
I'm hoping that the hard work pays off and I'll eventually start making some money. So
that'd be awesome. Yeah, hey, absolutely. Are you ever going to put up the video or whatever it was of my Price is Right video or story?
Which one was that?
The Price is Right.
I don't know that we were recording video for that.
It might have just been audio.
Yeah, I think it was just audio.
Well, send me the raw. I want to listen
to it. Oh, no, no. You know what? That's the audio that got screwed up, and I don't have it.
No.
Yeah, you knew this. We've talked about this before.
No, we talked about the one where I told the whiskey story, but yeah.
I think you're wrong.
We'll get to it later. But dude, not to even just change the subject, I was so excited about this week, about this bourbon in particular.
What are we drinking, by the way?
So we're drinking, we haven't even mentioned that today. We're drinking Four Roses.
We haven't mentioned it, but when I record the intro at the beginning after all this, I'll have already mentioned it. So they know, but I'm just wanting you to talk about it now.
So today... like I said, I'm really excited. It's a Four Roses single barrel strength. So this is actually pretty rare. It is what's called a barrel pick. Actually a barrel pick by Steve's Liquor Store in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, that's where I'm from.
Yeah, straight up. No, it's pretty cool. I've actually never seen this in a store until I actually picked it up at Steve's. But there's a really cool story behind it, but I'd be happy to get into it. But... break time.
No, not quite ready for break yet, but that's okay. Tell me, how is your wife? You know, I was just about to ask, did she find a job? But she can work from home. Like, that's what she's doing here.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. She still doing what she was doing in Madison and barely missed a day off of work.
Oh, that must be nice.
Yeah. It's good. She likes her job, so it, like... we got to even vacation a little bit while we were between cities.
How was Disney World? I didn't even ask you last time.
Dude, it was good, but it was like weird. Like there were so many weird encounters. I mean, long story short, we had a great time, but there were like weird things. Like people were really rude to us in situations. There were just a lot of like things that if that had been our first time at Disney, we probably wouldn't have gone back. Sure. It was like a ride we were on. It was a slow ride, but the couple in front of us was smoking pot on the ride. And there was like a baby in the one behind us. So we were like really concerned. It was actually my my nephew. So
your
we
nephew
were like,
was smoking pot?
Yeah. And then, you know, there was there was adults nearby that...
Did you hear
no,
me?
No, I know. You're joking.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to smell that.
Did you... I know. I was listening to the podcast, that podcast. Uh-huh. And they talk about how there are whiskey drinks at Disney World now. Did you get to try any of those?
Like cocktails, you mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever had a cocktail of whiskey cocktail, but I have had their rum cocktails, and they are just so good. They have the... You ever heard of a pineapple Dole Whip?
Yes, I believe they talked about that one.
So you mix that with rum, and it's like one of the greatest mixed drinks I've ever had in my life.
Interesting.
So I got to have that when I was out there. It's kind of nice.
I think when the only time I went to Disney World, like, I was a kid, and back then, the only place in Disney World that you could get liquor was like in the secret spots. Like there was like a club members only spot that you could have liquor in. But
anyway. Oh, that's funny.
All right. What do you say after this? We're gonna start drinking this Four Roses single barrel strength bourbon. And but before that, let's take a quick break. Okay, back from break here on Chill Filtered. And Cole, you talked a little bit about what we're going to be drinking, and you've said it's a kind of a special one and you're excited about it. What can you tell us about this selection from Four Roses?
So it's a really cool one. Four Roses, I've realized even researching this that I respect them a lot more than I even did before, and they put out a fantastic product. But let me talk about the distillery real quick. Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. That's where it started in, it started in about the distillery 1910, but the brand was trademarked in 1888. It's been around for a while. It's actually changed hands a little bit, but believe it or not, this brand from the late 50s to 2002 was discontinued completely.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, it's kind of weird that like such a big brand you know was actually not in existence for like 40 or what I get. Let me do the math. 50 plus years. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird that like it had gone out, but it came back and they took into like they wanted to create a product that was just straight whiskey, especially straight bourbon. To my recollection, I don't know if there are any Four Roses Rye. I'm almost very confident in saying that they're only bourbon and only straight bourbon. That's 100% that it's only straight whiskey.
Yeah.
But yeah, so here's what I love about Four Roses is that they have mash bills. They have two. One is mash bill E, and that's 75% corn, 20% rye, 5% malted barley. And there's mash bill B, and that's 60% corn, 35% rye, and 5% malted barley. So one's a little higher on the rye and less on the corn, and that would be the mash bill B. But then there is 5 strands of yeast that they use. So, you know, you might wonder, like, what does yeast have to do with, like, a good bourbon? Well, actually, yeast can really change things up in terms of flavor. So they have 5 strands. I'm going to go through them real quick. There's K. That's what they call it, K, which mm-hmm. is apparently spicier and a little more full-bodied. There's Q, which is fruity, spicy, and medium-bodied. There's O, which is a little floral, definitely has some spice, but medium-bodied as well. F is more herbal. and V is a little delicate and not so spicy, and it's got a fruitiness and apparently a creaminess to it. Why I bring that all up is that our bottle in particular has a code on it. And so there are 4 letters on this code, and it always starts with O, which O means it was produced at Four Roses in Lawrenceburg. And then the S, the third letter that we're going to see, means it's a straight whiskey, but all they do is straight whiskey. So the only variation in any of the code is the second and fourth letter. And do you remember, or do you see on the label what the four-letter code is?
Yeah. OESQ.
What's that? Yeah, so like, I thought that was kind of cool that specifically we have the one that has the E mash bill, which is the 75% corn, 20% rye, 5% malted barley. But then we have the Q, which is apparently fruity, spicy, and medium-bodied in terms of what produced from the yeast. So that's kind of cool to me. Altogether, there's 10 options, and they actually split it up very evenly, especially in regards to their single barrel. But in particular, there's a lot of single barrel Four Roses out there. You can get it at your average store, I would say. The small batch is a little more of an option, but the single barrel is, you know, like I said, you can get it almost anywhere, but this is the barrel proof single barrel, which is just crazy. It's
what is it, 55%? 55.2?
Yep, nailed it. And it was distilled in 2008, and it was bottled in 2018. So it was just about 10 years old. And actually, the minimum age on any Four Roses product is going to be 5 years, is what they say.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. So I'm excited for this one. It's a really respectable distillery.
I've been sitting here smelling it while you've been talking.
Ooh, can I pop the cork? You want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
Come on. Ah, there it is. So we didn't get rid of the cork pop.
Sort of sounded like you spilled some there.
No.
Looks like on Total Wine, this specific bottle is going for between like $70 and $80. So yeah, you know, expect to pay about that much for it.
But is that the barrel strength?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I know how to Google things. Thank you.
Sorry.
Here's what I'll say about the nose on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clean. It smells very clean. Like, I know that like these are not great descriptors, but it's not dirty at all. It's just like pure.
So you're not talking about like cleaning supplies clean. You're talking about like a crispness.
Yeah. There you go. Crispness is a good word. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're right. It's very crisp is probably the best word I can think of. It's very just you're not getting too much in any direction. It's just one good smell though.
I have to admit something. I just smelled my microphone by mistake. I was holding the glass down on the desk and just went and smelled the microphone.
Do you ever? I have a story about that kind of thing. You know how like with me, if I hug my wife and her head's like right below me, I'll just kiss her head. And I'll like, you know, I'll just kind of get used to that. And one time I like grabbed my shoulder and like kissed it. And I'm like, why did I just do that?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird.
I'm doing that thing where you hold it up to your nose and you breathe through your mouth.
Ooh, that's good.
And it really is. It's one of the best ones I've done that with. Here's what I have found with doing that is that it lets you experience the taste without getting any harsh burn right away.
For sure.
It's honestly, I think, probably the best way to prime the pump, as we've said.
I think so. Have you sipped it yet?
I haven't.
Do you want to predict anything? Have you had this before? No, I actually waited for this so we could drink it together for the first time.
You know, I almost, you asked me if I want to predict anything. I'm hesitant to predict anything, but I will say, even though I'm hesitant, I'll say just from the nose, I get a little bit of chocolatiness and maybe even a hint of mint. I expect the taste to be a little bit minty. And maybe what I'm smelling is that spiciness that we'll get, because you said this is the one that tends to be more spicy. Is that right?
Yeah, spicy and fruity and medium bodied.
Sure. I'm not getting any fruit out of the nose, but I tell you what, I'm gonna do that sip. You go ahead and talk.
Yeah, so I will make a prediction about this myself. I think it is going to be pretty crisp even on the palate, but I think it's going to be really sharp in terms of the bite to it. I mean, 55% is not that high, but I think it will be sharp. But I have a feeling the mouthfeel, sometimes with these hot whiskeys, the mouthfeel can be really strong. I have a feeling the mouthfeel is going to be very, in a way, bright. I don't know how to say that in the best way, but
you're wrong.
I think it's not going to be like your mouth is like chalky in any way.
So the underside of my tongue, it was pretty harsh on the underside of my tongue. Mm. But otherwise, I was dead on with chocolate. I'm not, I'm maybe getting like a hint of like a, you know what butter mints are?
Absolutely.
Like a, one of those dinner mints that you get mm-hmm. as you're walking out of a supper club. The butter yeah. mints. It's very, and that would go against what you said about not being chalky, because butter mints are very chalky, but I get that
That's
feeling.
A good point.
But more so, more than the feeling, I really do get that butter mint taste. But I also do get a lot of chocolate out of this. No fruit. I'm not getting a single hint of fruit in it.
The biggest things I got off the palate were just really pleasant oak. It finished into this oak that the oak turned directly, like just right into honey. Yeah, let me know if you taste honey.
Ooh. That time I got an explosion of apples on that mm-hmm. go around. Wow, that was no, I'm not getting yeah. honey at all. Not getting honey
Although,
at all.
With the apple taste that I'm getting, it's like just cut into almost like you just took a bite
yes.
out of a
100%.
More of a crisper, like maybe not maybe similar to Granny Smith, but maybe not as like soury.
Yeah.
But it's real crisp.
No, it's really, really good.
Yeah. So did you have ice today? Because I brought
no,
ice.
No, I didn't bring ice. I just did 2 drops of water in it.
I'm about to drop a water.
Oh, you got some distilled water this time?
Yeah, I did.
I think the drop of water, I did 2 drops of water, and it really did open it up. It really, the nose is much more prominent.
Oh, cool. All right,
it's really good. I haven't tasted
it better?
It yet, but I haven't tasted
okay.
it. But the smell, the nose is just great.
Hmm. It's still great.
Maybe you know, it seems stronger on the nose, and I wonder if just dropping that water. You know, sometimes you drop some water and some whiskey, and it just kind of mutes it, even on the nose. But sometimes you drop water in there, and it's almost like it causes more vapors to come up and you get a better smell of what it actually is.
Yeah, I'm behind that.
So I'm gonna taste it now.
Yeah, so I just tasted it with a little bit of water. And it definitely, as we say, opened it up a bit. It wasn't, I mean, I'm not even sure which one I like more. I want to say...
Easily, the water's better.
Really?
Oh,
maybe,
my
gosh. I only
gosh.
Got one solid drop in there, so let me get another one in there.
It is... It's very complex now.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's
that's really good.
It's entirely different. It's while still being familiar, but I mean
it is wholly different. Fruity to
yes,
the max.
It brought out a lot of that fruit. Very citrusy and almost metallic. I like a little metallic taste to my whiskey mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
I'm not getting that. Metallic scares me sometimes. But it is better.
Like I said, it's
yeah.
The citrus is what's really coming out for me. It feels,
mm-hmm.
it feels like an apple lemonade. It tastes like an apple lemonade, kind
of. I think you're onto something because I thought about it. I was like, what's one of the fruitiest whiskeys I can think of? And I think of Yamazaki. Mm. But this is very different than Yamazaki, but still super fruity. But I think you're right about the citrus. The citrus is like perfectly mixed with an apple-y taste.
Yeah.
It's I'm going to really, drop a really cube.
Good. Yeah, I was going to say, you go ahead and drop a cube. I didn't bring any ice in today, but you let us know what ice does to it. And, you know, I've tried really hard to stay away from saying it tastes floral or like a rose because of the name Four Roses. I don't
oh,
know
for
if, they,
sure.
if they try to if do you know why they're called Four Roses? Like, is there
yeah,
something behind
apparently,
that?
Yeah, apparently the legend is it was started by a guy named Rose, and I'm blanking on his first name, but he had
four
dudes
his
in
first
his family.
Name was Four.
No. He had four dudes. His son, his grandson, and I think he had 2 sons or something like that. But that's the legend. But the thing is that. They actually, on their website, oh, did I tell you, they're bought by a company, one of the bigger ones, but you probably haven't heard of this one, though. But guess what country this company is from?
Italy.
Nope, Japan. So Japan's taken over, man.
Yeah, they are.
So the new website that was taken over by the Japanese company doesn't mention this original Rose guy. Okay. But the legend is that Rose was the original founder of the brand.
Okay. How's it taste with that cube? Did it change smell? Did it change taste?
Still pleasant. Better with water, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It brightened it up too much. It thinned it out too much is really what happened.
Yeah.
But still good. I would drink that on ice, but I'd much rather drink it with a little water in there. Man, that was good.
Are we to the point where we want to give this a rating, or do we want to talk about it some more, or where are you at?
Well, tell you what. You've done the research.
So.
Well, yeah. You know what? I will read a few more things that sure. I did get to research.
Okay. And while you're doing that, I'll try and come up with a rating in my head.
Okay, cool. So, remember our Whiskey World news last week? We talked about the column still versus the pot still?
Yes.
Guess which one this is?
Column still?
The great and awesome column still. It starts with a column still, at least. There are usually, in whiskey, there are at least two levels of distillation. Mm-hmm. So the first distillation was in a column still, and then the second was what's called a doubler, which is a lot more like a pot still than actually a column still, but it's not technically a pot still. They are one of the only larger distilleries that has only a single story warehouse for all their whiskey. Typically, like something like Maker's Mark or Buffalo Trace or even Woodford Reserve has multi-floor rickhouses for the barrels.
Yeah.
They say it is more controlled if you keep it on one floor, which I believe in because of the temperature differences. But they only do one story. And then like I mentioned earlier, every Four Roses whiskey is at least 5 years old. And, their non-single barrel whiskeys can be blended quite a bit to a great ratio between the types of mash bills and the types of yeast strains. But the single barrel, of course, comes from one barrel, which is the exact, like, one mash bill, one yeast strain.
Right.
And the master distiller, props to you. This is a great product. Brent Elliott. They have a few special releases, one which is called Elliott Select, which I had in, where was it? It was in Norfolk, Virginia, and it was fantastic. One of the best whiskeys I've ever had. But they had a 30th anniversary recently that was a big deal.
Nice.
Yeah. That's all I got for history and stuff about the bottle and distillery.
Yeah.
Man, that was good, though.
Yeah, it's really good. I am going to change the subject. It has nothing to do with whiskey, but it's an anecdote of something that happened at work today that I just thought of. So you know that our listeners know that I work for the government and I deal with the public and things like that, and sometimes have to call a member of the public to get verification on something they want. So I called this guy today, and he had done some stuff a weird way, and I was calling him to just say, hey, are you sure you want to do this instead of this? You know, the way you're doing it, you have to pay this amount of money, and if you did it the way that I think you should do it, you would pay $0. And he was just like adamant that he would rather pay the money to do it, and I was just like, I mean, sir, like, why? And he's like, well, it's already started this way. And I said, yes, but like, you, it's incomplete the way you have it. So I still need more stuff from you anyway. So why don't we just do it my way, where I'm just going to send you a letter with something and we're done. You don't have to send anything back and you save money. Like, I'll refund the money you've spent.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dealing with like estate stuff, like the estate of his parents.
Oh, for sure.
And he goes, listen, man, let's just say that the fee was like $72. He's like, listen, I don't care about the $72. The estate is in the millions of dollars. Like, $72 is a drop in the bucket. I don't care about it. And I was like, oh, must be nice.
You're like, cool, bro. Okay, yeah, bye.
It was like a weird humble brag. It wasn't even a humble brag. It was like, my parents are dead brag.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, you know what? $72? I'll spend $72. For what reason? No reason. Because I'll
burn
rich.
It in front of your face. I don't even care about it.
You ever hear about the rich Middle Eastern princes who will buy a bottle? There's like a YouTube video apparently.
Yeah. You've talked about this on the show.
Okay, yeah, and then pour it on the ground. Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I have some good news. This past week, I got a Van Winkle 12-year, and I told you this via text, but now the listeners know that in the somewhat near future, we will be doing a Van Winkle 12-year Lot B episode, so I'm excited for that.
I am very excited for that. You know, I always have to say thank you to Cole because he has afforded me the opportunity to try some really great whiskeys. And has even given me some really great whiskey, so that's awesome. Cole, do you have a rating?
8.7. No, 8.6. I always change my mind. 8.6.
So I, Neat was at like a 7.8, 7.9.
Mm-hmm.
With the two drops of distilled water, I'm at a full on 9.
Nice.
Yeah. It was, this might be my favorite bourbon.
Oh, I'll have to send you more.
Right now,
actually,
at
no,
right
it's still at Steve's.
Oh, I believe it.
Go pick it up before they sell out.
I know, I should do that. I have some extra cash right now, so maybe I will. But maybe I won't because I have so much whiskey on my shelf right now.
You just told me that you have enough whiskey.
I just have a ton. Like, what's your bottle count right now? Do you know?
It's probably 45.
Yeah, I'm like at 30, so... And it may not be as expensive stuff as like that you have, but I mean, not all of it's been cheap. I think I did the tally the other day. Like, I've got like $3,500 worth of whiskey. Like, I think I have to cool my jets for a little while.
I'm so proud.
So yeah.
See, I'm the type of guy that starts addictions.
Yes, no, that's kidding. Yeah, right. You've made me addicted. You're a real dick. so you said 8.6.
That's right.
And I said with the water, I'd do a 9. It's really good. Go out and find this, listeners. Again, it's the Four Roses single barrel strength OESQ. There are other ones out there. So this is the OESQ. If you want to have exactly what we're having, that's what you need to get. Again, on totalwine.com, it was listed for about $75. So expect, you know, between $10 less and probably more, $10 more is where you'll find it at. But
also, one thing to note is that you won't get anywhere. I mean, it is very unlikely. It's almost like literally impossible to get exactly what we're getting unless you go to Steve's in Wisconsin. But,
right, because it is a Steve's,
Because it's barrel strength, meaning they didn't cut it to a certain thing. So the fact that there's an OBSQ.
No.
Or OE.
You can get the barrel strength OESQ anywhere. This is just a barrel pick.
It's also a 55.2%, which doesn't always happen in an OESQ.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So it might be a little different, but it's probably similar.
Yeah. Anything else, Cole? You feeling good?
Feeling good. Oh, I forgot to talk about barrel picks. What does that mean? Short answer is that a liquor store or even sometimes a restaurant will spend a chunk of money on one barrel.
And you say chunk of money, it is a chunk of money.
Oh, probably $10,000 average or more. Mm-hmm. And they will get the barrel and they'll bottle it for this, you know, liquor store, in this case, Steve's. But they will get every bottle of whiskey that came out of that barrel, and they'll be able to typically get the actual wooden barrel as well, which is kind of cool. But yeah, like a bunch of companies do that. Buffalo Trace does that. Four Roses does that. Blanking on a few others. Knob Creek does that. I believe Maker's Mark, I believe, does that. So sure. Yeah, it's a cool option. And actually, me and you could theoretically do it, Adam. You don't need to be a liquor store or a restaurant.
Oh, I just don't have thousands of dollars, though.
Exactly. I know people that have pooled their money as a whiskey club and got their own barrel before.
You know what, though? I think you're wrong. Because I think I looked into it, and you have to have a liquor license to like buy it straight from the manufacturer.
Huh. Maybe the people that I've talked to that are in like the groups of people, maybe they actually like got a liquor license somehow. But yeah. I've heard of groups doing it together, but they probably did go through that kind of route.
Right. All right. Well, Cole, real quick, do we have any idea what we're drinking next week?
Let me think.
Do you want to just do the EHT rye? We haven't done it. We've been putting that off
let's
for
do that one.
Ever. Yeah. So we'll do it.
No, that one's fantastic.
Colonel EH Taylor straight rye. And, I have seen that at Total. I can quote what Total Wine in Madison has. It's $65 there, but I have seen it for as much as $85 in different liquor stores. So there's quite a wide difference there. I sometimes wonder if Total Wine has not priced that correctly in Madison. I don't know. I feel like it's worth more.
The weird thing is that Madison has it. I've been in whole states. Like Virginia never had that bottle. It was so hard to find. So I think it's just maybe the availability in Wisconsin. But
well, I don't know. It was out of stock at Total Wine for a good 2 or 3 months because I bought the bottle there and then finished it in about a month. And only last month did I go back and find it again. So who knows? So we'll be drinking the Colonel E.H. Taylor straight rye. If you want to drink it with us next week, you can go out and buy a bottle of that. Hey, Cole, you know what time it is?
Is it time for Whiskey World News?
It's time for Whiskey World News. All right, here on Chill Filtered, we do a segment called Whiskey World News where we take an article that we find on the internet. We take no credit. We want to give the credit to the people who wrote it, but we'll read it and we'll talk about it and have an opinion because that's something we're good at is having an opinion. And on today's rendition of Whiskey World News, we're reading an article from Barrons.com. It's Barrons.com. And the article title is Whiskey a Legitimate Investing Opportunity? It's written by Jake Eamon or Emin. I'm not sure. It's E-M-E-N. Again, it's Barrons.com. Is Whiskey a Legitimate Investing Opportunity by Jake Eamon? I don't know if I'm going to read the whole of this article because it's actually pretty long, but we'll get enough of it to have an opinion like we always do. So here we go. Last year saw a flurry of record-setting whiskey auctions, highlighted by a string of individual bottles raking in seven-figure paydays. In May, a rare 60-year-old Macallan netted approximately $1.06 million. That record was broken in October with another Macallan hauling in $1.1 million. And that new high mark lasted merely until the following month, when yet another bottle from the same Macallan Valerio Adami, 1926, sold to the tune of $1.5 million. Cole, could you stop clanking things while I'm reading?
I'm so sorry. I'm just pouring a little bit more for myself.
These seven-figure standouts have only served to intensify the spotlight on what has been a growing trend for years, whiskey investing. It's been nothing but exponential growth year after year, says Bill Thomas, proprietor of Washington, D.C.'s Jack Rose Dining Saloon, a bar with approximately 2,700 labels of whiskey, and in his free time, an avid collector with a personal stash dwarfing that of his bars. Wow.
Yeah, I believe it.
From the world's finest auction houses down to the local liquor shop around the corner from your home, investing in whiskey is a global phenomenon that shows no signs of slowing down. Whiskey collecting used to be a niche where people who really liked certain brands would buy all they could find of that particular brand, says Brian Robinson, a well-known spirits collector who brings unique dual expertise into the field as he also happens to run a financial planning firm. Nowadays, it seems a bit more indiscriminate where people are gobbling up anything that they can find, that they think might have a higher secondary value. If you're a whiskey drinker, then you've already noticed the phenomenon. Annual releases such as the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection or Pappy Van Winkle lineup sell out instantaneously, fetching many times their suggested retail pricing. Same goes for Japanese brands such as Yamazaki and, is it Hibiki? Hibiki?
Hibiki.
The best of Japan have also sold well at auction. In 2018, a 50-year-old Yamazaki sold for roughly $300,000, a record.
My goodness.
Later in the year, a 52-year-old Karazawa, Karuizawa, I don't know, saw
I don't know
sold with a $312,000 price tag, only to be surpassed by another 50-year-old Yamazaki, which earned its owner $343,000. For his part, Robinson has amassed a collection hovering somewhere north of 4,000 bottles. Up until a few years ago, though, I viewed it mainly as a tasting hobby. I collected to taste and share as opposed to resell, he explains. However, opportunity came calling in the form of Columbia Room, a DC cocktail lover's haven that sports a vintage spirits library. Thanks to their personal friendship, Robinson's stash helped see Brown's Bar, helped seed Brown's Bar. So a part of my collection morphed into an investment, Robinson says, but it was never the end goal to make money on it. I'm going to skip a little bit. Starting from scratch with your own collection and turning it into a profitable enterprise may be more difficult than you imagine, particularly if you're not running a destination whiskey bar on the side. That's largely due to the fact that, as opposed to even 5 years ago, the competition has increased just as exponentially as prices have. At this point in the cycle, I'd say profits are harder to come by because there are already so many well-established collectors and traders that have effectively cornered much of the market for investment bottles, Robinson says. But that doesn't mean there isn't still some fun to be had and some money to be made if someone's willing to put in the work. I think I'm going to stop there. And we can kind of talk about it. You know, we've talked about it a little bit before. We've talked about people insuring their whiskey collection. And typically people who do that are people who are collecting to as an investment. I don't know. What do you think of the investment side of buying whiskey?
I've told you before, I've traded up in terms of bottles and stuff like that. I've never owned a bottle worth more than $2,000 market value. So I don't know about like investment in terms of like good money investment, but I can tell you I've bought certain bottles for like $70 that I've traded up to. Like, remember that Colonel Taylor Cured Oak?
Yeah.
I traded that bottle for a $70 bottle on my part. So like there is upgrades to be made. I don't want to say like profits because I like to trade more so than anything else.
Yeah, but you're never getting a bottle. Like, do you have any bottle that you're not going to open because you think it's going to be worth money someday?
If I had that Macallan edition number one and didn't open it, I probably would have held on to that one. Yeah, but like I mean I would think about it. I'm not against it. But time-wise, I don't think I would. If I didn't open the Cured Oak too, which I 100% intended to, which I did, I would have, because that only appreciate like Cured Oak. But there's like certain brands, like Macallan usually goes up with time, especially special editions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, there is, I really do think there is opportunity for, quote, profit. But that's not for me. I'm not going to be the one to say in 5 years this is going to be worth more.
Yeah, you know, I think we're both at the same kind of place where it's like, and we've talked about this before, we're buying to enjoy the whiskey and maybe even more so to enjoy it with other people. Like, we're almost always going to open our bottles and share them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know. I guess if I had the spare cash, I might buy some bottles thinking of investing, you know, as an investment and just being like, I'm going to put this away and not touch it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I were to do that now, it would probably be a Macallan. I've seen Macallan edition number two on shelves. I 100% know that in 10 years, it'll be worth much more than twice that. You can buy it for at least.
Yeah.
But that's 10 years, twice the value, you know?
Right. All right, well, Cole, I feel good. Do you still feel good?
I feel great. I feel like a lot, you know, listeners out there, I feel very great about the smoothness of this episode, you know, and how smoothly we're becoming as separated podcaster hosts.
Well, I will say, last episode, we recorded it talking on the phone, and today we decided to try doing Skype, and I think we have a more immediate connection where it's like there's not this pause in between stuff, which is great.
I think so.
But we should say, and I'll probably say this in the intro, that at some point during this, our connection, we got lost and we had to recall each other. So there might be some weirdness that comes from that, but it was no big deal. Hopefully, with my ninja editing skills, I can make that weird pause disappear.
Dude's a pro.
That's right. Yeah, maybe. Hey, Cole, I love you as always. Thanks for doing this with me.
Yeah.
And how many whiskey podcasts do you think there are where the hosts tell each other that they love each other?
Oh, there's one. There's only one.
It's just us. It's just us. And we hope that, I hope that you feel the love. And I know I can speak for you when I say that we hope our listeners feel the love. And yeah. Cole, do you have anything that you hope?
I hope that our love of spirits lifted yours.